Yeah, I think it's big.
Tyree, you can hear me? Yo,
what's up, brother?
What's going on, man? How's your day going?
Good, bro. Just working. Can you see me?
No, actually, I only see like your name on the screen.
Oh, there go. Start video.
There we go. I heard you were caught in traffic. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, no, it was some little accident or something like that.
Damn. As well as you're fine and doing well, and you made it home safe, that's all that counts.
Yeah, for sure.
Congrats on the new album. I gave it a good listen.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro.
It was fire. I love the flip that you did, the Cherish the Day for Sade.
Oh, yeah.
That was fire.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Sade and shit like that.
In your opinion, do you think she's underrated? I feel as though when people mention R&B legends, she's never brought up as much as she should be.
I just think Sade, like, she wasn't much of a, like, as you noticed, she doesn't clear samples. I think, a rumor, don't quote me on this, but I think Kanye tried to work with her and, like, she, like, denied it or some shit like that.
She didn't even want to work with Kanye. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think she's smart. I think she's just very anti-industry. I think she knows what the industry does and just kind of chose the route of the people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and when you got the people, you don't really need all that Hollywood shit like that. That shit'll drive you crazy or blow your brains out. So she in my top five. So it don't really matter what the industry and what the award shows put you at. That's that other shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Do you think she would ever reach out to you regarding the song? Because it was good.
I'm hoping she don't reach out to me because I ain't trying to clear that motherfucker.
Oh.
I want to meet her though. Like, I'm a dead ass fan. Like, I'm a diehard like fan of Sade. She the reason I started doing melodies, honestly.
Mm-hmm. But, what's your favorite album from her? Is it Love Deluxe?
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Yeah. I mean that's the no skipper right there.
Yeah.
it don't get no better than that for real. Like, that's it.
It's not me, it's you as a no skipper too.
Yeah, it's close, man. I was in my zone doing that project. I was in a good space. My daughter was at the house like the whole time, so I was able to really, like, you know, get in touch with my inner side for real.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know.
Something I notice about your work, especially the new album, is that you're not afraid to get personal and talk about things that go on in your life, daddy issues.
Yeah.
And you look at the song titles, you could see it on there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I like it personal, like, you know, like Lauryn Hill said, music is supposed to inspire, you know. So I always try to tell my story and how you doing, and just kind of because, you know, when all the billboard and all the numbers and plaques go away, like, the people got to remember you for something. So I feel like there's so many artists out here that got great music, but you don't even know who the hell they are. You don't know where they're from. You don't know what they've been through. And that's fine. Like, everybody not really into the, being too letting you into their life like that, but I like being transparent like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that artists later on will eventually be looked at in a different way because they're not themselves? Because artists, you're supposed to be who you are.
I think it's deeper than just being who you is. I think you should more so like not only be who you are, but be who you can tolerate. You know what I'm saying? Be what you can tolerate. So, you know, if somebody on some extra weird ass shit, like, and they can't really handle the crowd giving opinions on that, I wouldn't give you the fuck I am. So I'll be like kissing my ass by telling you shit, because if y'all attack me, then I can't handle it. But, you know, I'm more so, I could deal with shit like that. I mean, everybody, like, I'm not mad at the little weird niggas that get off the school bus, you know, first and shit. Like, I never looked at them any different than the niggas that sat in the back with the weed and all the, and sneaking their foot bag in school. Like, you know, so it's not like I'm gonna get off the bus and be like, you lame as hell, you wasn't in the back with us. Like, you know, it's not about that. To me, I think you should just definitely dish out what you could take. You know what I'm saying? And if you can't take that, then, you know, don't give everybody who you is if you don't really want, because there's gonna be times when you make mistakes and people try to, you know, put words on it and tell you who you is, but you just gotta stay true to yourself and just kind of be consistent. It'd be straight.
Those are the key words right there. Stay true to yourself and stay consistent. Stay true to yourself.
Yeah.
You're originally for the Bronx. From New York, you moved to Atlanta at the age of 9.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like out there in Atlanta? Because I'm still in New York. I've never been to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's fine. It's open. It's open. The hustle is open for Southern hospitality. It's a lot of networking. It's a lot of opportunity. It's a new hot artist out here every 3 months. Now, that's a good opportunity. Like, it ain't like that in New York. You know how that shit be.
Yeah.
Like a new artist in New York can't even get upstairs and talk to Funk Flex.
Yep.
but the artists are here. We can go pull up at, we could go pull up on J Nix or ET or, you know, or, you know, Fly Guy DC or, you know, Farai Simmons. We could catch them niggas 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And outside the building, they gonna talk to you. So I think that's why Atlanta kind of smokes other cities, because we more warm to, it's just so many times you're a bumper to a nigga. That's why it's, every nigga that got real beef that ain't no rap beef, they get shot, because it's like we outside. Like, it's just a matter of time before I bump into you at the club, or a chick that I fuck with one of your partners, and she like, oh, I was just with Holmes. He live over here. You know what I'm saying? The next thing you know, your shit shot up, or you got to be real careful out here, because it's so tight with the girls and then just like everybody that network. You know what I'm saying? You may be beefing with a nigga and be cool with another nigga, and that nigga you beefing with may be cool with the nigga you cool with. It's just you don't know. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like that in New York. You know, the boroughs up there is real separated.
Yeah.
I was born in the Bronx, and I already know. I never even fucked with a chick from Brooklyn when I went up there, because it's so fucking far.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a nigga ain't finna get on the train for 2 hours just to go see a chick in Flatbush. You know what I'm saying? Harlem or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You know how it be.
It's in your roots 100%. I've heard you in interviews. You were inspired by Big L, Big Pun, Mobb Deep. But yeah, you also like 3-6 Mafia.
Hell yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a lot of people from the South and the West. I mean, I like people from all areas of the country, for real. Just, I was born in New York, so all my family from New York. So that shit can't leave. My parents is from St. Nick Projects, Harlem. You know what I'm saying? I think that's one of the first like projects where crack like originated, like in New York, for real, right?
Wow.
I got a lot of uncles that hustled, but my uncles was not only hustling, they was using it too. You know what I'm saying? My uncles was hustlers and abusers. So it was like, I grew up around a lot of shit like that. And then moving to Atlanta, like, my parents spent every dollar they had to come out here. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really come to the hood. I'm from the hood, but I ain't come to the hood in Atlanta when I moved here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I moved to Fulton County and shit, and then we moved to Cobb and shit. So, you know, I just ended up visiting the hood so much because I was just used to that, you know, that crowd. So the older I got, the further I got from, you know, all the ignorant shit. But I just, unfortunately, was just addicted to hustling. And then, you know, I just couldn't do no regular, you know, 9-to-5 shit.
Yeah. Originally, you wanted to be a professional basketball player. What position did you play?
In my head, point guard.
Point guard?
On a court, probably like a 3.
Oh, who was your favorite player growing up?
Kobe Bryant. Come on now.
Kobe Bryant. Yeah, the Mamba.
Yeah, for sure.
What was crazy is that the whole thing with Tiger Woods that happened yesterday, I was getting the flashbacks with Kobe, but do you think Tiger Woods is on that Kobe level? Because if we lost Tiger Woods, that's major, that's huge. He's a big athlete, but there was something about Kobe that I related more to and others related more to.
I mean, you got to think, like, I mean, as far as skill and dominance, yeah. Tiger Woods is there. But as far as, like, even with Jordan, like, you know, like, Jordan is considered the GOAT, but Kobe is my GOAT in my age bracket. And then also, Kobe was more personal to the people. Like, Kobe has more stories with, like, the fans and, you know, what he stood for and, like, the youth that was coming up. You know, Jordan only really fucked with Kobe.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this nigga got, you got Tatum, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. They all talking about Kyrie. They're like, damn, this nigga was working out with them. You know, and I think that Kobe's was more personal. You got stories with the fans he was talking to directly. You know, he was in a different time, I think. And I don't think Tiger Woods really did that. Like, I think a lot of Tiger Woods off the field struggles really fucked with him. And Kobe kind of, you know, fed off of that stuff. How you doing?
You think Tiger Woods can come back?
Tiger Woods, man, of course.
Yeah, I think he can. The thing that's bothering me, though, is, and I'm going to say it, all these white men in the industry that are pushing to get him back out on the course, it's like, don't you care about his well-being and that he's alive and that his family's around him right now? Everyone's like, oh, when's he getting back out on that course? Let the man rehab and get back to normal.
That's that whole shut up and dribble shit, man.
Yeah, it is, 100%.
It's like, you know, they want to, you know, they want you to be what you are for them and not for you. And I mean, once anybody sees signs of that, you just know to separate those people from reality, you know? But like I said, Tiger's been through everything. He knows what to do and what not to do. No one needs to voice an opinion on what he should do. I'm glad he survived, and you know, he'll make the right decision going forward. I'm pretty positive at that. Mm-hmm. He's won, dominated, lost. They said it was finished, came back, you know, like Tom Brady style. Came back, kicked their ass again, and I'm sure he'll be fine for her.
Yeah, I think he will. Talking about Kobe Bryant before, did you grow up a Lakers fan?
No, Kobe.
Just a Kobe fan.
Bro, I'm from the Bronx, so you know I gotta be a Knicks fan.
Yeah, unless you're Big L, I'm from New York and never was a fan of the Knicks.
Knicks, yeah, no. I mean, when I first started watching basketball, you had like Chris Childs, Charlie Ward,
oh yeah,
Larry Johnson, Kirk Thomas, you know, fucking Latrell Sprewell, Allen Houston, Patrick Ewing, John Starks. Like, I grew up in that, you know what I mean? So I'm always going to be a Knicks fan, but they just got to tighten up.
Yeah, they're doing well this year. They got a good coach. Emmanuel Quickly is the steal of the draft right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, it's a good look. It looks good.
Yeah, it's going to be looking good for New York. Yeah. Quarantine and chill. How are you able to cope during the whole quarantine going on, even though we're still in the pandemic?
I was already set up for the COVID shit, honestly. Like, I already, you know what I mean? I had got my crib in the suburbs and shit. I got my daughter, you know, more. And then, like, I built a man cave in my house, so I got a studio in here. So I already was keeping 6 feet distance niggas anyway, you know what I'm saying? So it really didn't matter to me. I already was prepping to not be outside as much. Like, I don't even do clubs like I used to. I had just started doing tours only with the venues. And I went on that tour with Black, and then I went on that tour with Eric Bellinger. And, you know, that really became my crowd, like the venues and shit, where they really just come out to see us. They ain't really out partying and shit. So it didn't really matter. Like, it's the same shit. I could drop my music whenever I'm back independent and shit. So you know how I go.
Mm-hmm. What was something that you learned in your experience in being signed a label, especially with Cash Money, that you were able to implement into your own independent label?
Good and bad. I mean, on the bad side, I'm not a fan. I'm not waiting for nobody. You know what I'm saying? So I never wanted to wait for nobody. And I'm not asking nobody for approval for shit. I'm just not doing it. I mean, we could work together. I'm not saying I got to make all my decisions, you know, without the other party consideration, but I just wasn't with the waiting. You know what I'm saying? You know, me and Money Man, we did our deal at the same time. I was actually in the meeting when he met Birdman. And a funny story. I was already in the studio at Hit Factory with Bird and, you know, Money Man. You know, me and Money Man go back like 8 years.
Yeah,
like
I've heard about that.
We got affiliation, but beyond the music, just like, you know what I'm saying, on some cool shit. So he fly out there, and when he walk in, Bird, you know, he texts me. Mm-hmm. But see, Birdman didn't know that I knew Money Man like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he got them, he texts me and was like, yo, what you think of him? I said, man, that nigga official, bro. Like, Money Man was one of the few Money Man was one of the few niggas in Atlanta that was like really getting money on his own. Like, when he was locked in a bad deal with Akon, like, the nigga was really getting money. Like, everything he was rapping about was facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I always looked at Money Man like a self. We always had that respect because we was, you know what I mean? And we used to get on the phone and be like, man, I'm trying to goddamn clean this money up in music, man. How I do this, how I do that. And I remember doing that deal, and then when we was getting out, and me just asking Bird, I was like, Bird, like, I'm not comfortable, bro. Like, I just don't like, you know, I don't really like how this shit going. Like, I'm going on tour, you know. Keep in mind, you know, when you do a deal, you get like a $50,000 touring budget. That's budget. Budget don't mean you got it. Budget mean it's in your paperwork. You know what I mean? And so when I'm asking the label, like, yo, I'm on tour with Black and Sabrina Claudio. This shit sold out already. Like, this shit is sold out, but we're doing fucking venues with like 2,500 people. That's a lot of tickets, right?
Yeah.
So I'm label like, yo, let me get that 50 grand so I can get my tour bus. Da, da, da. They're like, we got to wait. Because, you know, at that time, Wayne was still suing them for that whatever money. You know what I'm saying? So once I got told no, I'm like, okay, y'all playing. Now I see what this shit about.
Now it's on.
I spent 33 bands of my own bread at that time. But I was uncomfortable with that, though. I didn't want to do that. That's a lot of fucking money, bro. It's like, you know, I'm out to pay for my own bus, pay for my whole team and shit. So from there, I just goddamn, I told my lawyer, I was like, let's get on the line with Birdman lawyer and shit, and goddamn, let's just figure out how we could break this shit off. You know what I'm saying? And respectfully, Bird got on the phone with me and was like, look, you can't walk away free. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to work the number out, but I'm gonna give you a number and shit, and if you could do it, we could do it. You know what I'm saying? And same with Money Man. So that's how I got free.
Were you with Birdman around the time when he went up to the Breakfast Club and the infamous clip?
I got cool with Birdman maybe right around or right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, at that time, cause he went in that motherfucker with the Rez.
Yeah, we saw that. All my
bros. So yeah, he went in there with Rallo. He went in there with some, you know what I'm saying, with all my niggas for real. So
yeah.
At that time, we wasn't that cool yet. Cause a nigga that was dropped, the nigga he rent tour buses from was partially managing me at the time. That's how I got in the room with Bird. And then me and Bird did a song in New York called It's Calm. We shot one of the little Trump Tower hotels and shit. And I was just kicking it with him. He was giving me game, but before we even did business for real.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I wouldn't trade that shit for him. I'm always gonna have that respect for him because we still cool to this day, even though we don't really do business no more like that.
What was the most important piece of advice that Birdman gave you?
It wasn't verbally. It was physically. Mm-hmm. He really say the same shit to everybody that he gives the same good game to everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? He'll tell you it's your time, nephew, to 12 different niggas a day. Right?
You even hear it on Drake's Take Care, We'll Be Fine.
Yeah, he'll word the same motivation, but it was a Grammy party I went to. I'll never forget this shit. And he showed me how to move.
Mm-hmm.
He had a spot to meet him at. And then it took like an hour for everybody to get there. You know what I'm saying? You know, this nigga roll with some real, you know, some real street niggas.
Yeah.
Real. Like that's gonna get busy. So we all meet up, take about 45 to an hour to meet up. We get to this party, rooftop party. Everybody's in there, but probably Drake. Like everybody's in. I'm talking about, I've never seen so many celebrities on one spot. It's wow. Like these like body painted bad bitches in the front, titties out and shit, but you know, they nipples covered up and everything. Hold on, man. I'm doing an interview. What's up? What's up, little man? And then we walk in, and then like the CEO of Universal, we do like a red carpet. We take pictures. We walk right in, red carpet. Then we go into the section. As we get going to the section, I recognize like two people that I know. I dap up. As I'm getting to the section, I turn my head. Bird is walking out. He's leaving. I'm like, bro, I know we're not finna leave, bro. This is like the biggest networking shit I've ever been to. He's leaving the party. And my little ass, I'm like, I'm not this nigga. I'm staying. I stay.
Yeah.
But I text him later. I said, why do you do that? He does this shit all the time. He did it. Money Man had a show at G5. Money Man walked in and didn't go in. He didn't go on stage like immediately. So Bird left. And so I asked him, I said, bro, why the fuck do you do that? Yeah. And he was just like, he said, you ever see any interviews of me getting robbed or shot at? And I was like, nah. He said, that's why these niggas get hit up so much. They stay around too long. He was like, I don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Like, everybody that know Bird, they see the bottles, they see the chains, but he's not really like that. He keep his family, like, very close, and, like, he don't be drinking like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll do something, but it won't be in a sense of him celebrating. If he want to drink, it's because he with his people doing it, but he won't do it for the camera. He'll pour it and pop it for the camera, but he won't be lit for the world to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's real.
I seen that. I'm like, damn, the nigga link up longer than he stay at the party. And when I seen that, it made me move a certain way. Like, as soon as I got back to the city, that like after that, I told all my partner, hey, bro, this is how we moving. We finna have this car here. Everybody walk in at the same time. We leave at the same time. The Sprinter be here. The security guard be in this seat in the Sprinter. You know what I'm saying? We got them get this many pistols. We got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two niggas gonna be some shooters. We're gonna have like eight, however many girls. We're gonna divide that by niggas by two. However we do it, that's how he moved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the biggest shit I learned. The movement, because I done seen my nigga, most of my peers done got robbed, beat up, knocked out, you know, pocket check. And I'm, you know, God, for not saying that can't happen to nobody, but, you know, by the grace of God, that never happened to me. So I'm going to keep it that way. Yeah. And if anything, you know, like that, we're just going to ride it out. How it's going to go. You know,
and thank God that something like that's never happened to you. And I tell people all the time, because people were clowning Birdman all over the internet when he did that. He was serious. Everyone took that as a joke.
About what?
The Power 105 interview when he pulled up there and told Charlamagne.
Oh, no. That nigga wasn't playing.
Yeah, he wasn't playing.
But you know what's funny, though? They haven't played with that nigga like that since.
Exactly. I mean,
it's just like, if you in the industry, that's cool. But if you really outside, it's just a circuit. Now, don't get me wrong, bro. Nobody is tougher than nobody. Everybody can be Suge Knight got his head knocked the fuck out at a club. I mean, it's just possible. And he gangster for real.
Yeah. Oh, was that the story about the barber? I think I did hear about that. Wasn't it a barber that knocked him out?
I'm not. It's a nigga. It's a nigga that everybody know could fight that knocked him out. It's a nigga that's official that knocked him out. He ain't get knocked out by no peon. But it's just certain niggas that you know that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they tougher than anybody, but it's some niggas that's not with the funny shit. You know what I'm saying? And Bird is one of them. Fat Joe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? 50, you know, Fab partners. Like, I know. You know what I'm saying? It's some niggas that you like, but you just don't play with them for real.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not worth it, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to go too well for your family.
Especially certain radio hosts. It's like, why are you playing with these guys in the industry when you need these guys to back you at the same time?
They don't know no better, but they industry niggas.
Yeah.
They don't know better, you know what I'm saying? Till some shit go down. And it's like, oh, you know, everybody not that goofy to, you know what I mean, jump on live with 6ix9ine and threaten the man with 350,000 people watching with the feds on. Like, come on, bro. That's not it.
No, it's not it.
Gangster.
Meek Mill's had a rough week with that. And not only the thing with Kobe, which was just disgraceful and distasteful at the same time.
I like Meek. You know what I'm saying? I like Meek. I just think Meek's one of them niggas that has moments.
Yeah.
Like you did. I got partners like that. I got partners that's solid and we have nothing but solid, cold conversations. And I got partners that just like, bro, what the fuck is you doing?
Yeah.
And I think Meek is just one of them niggas that's just like makes those type of mistakes.
Yeah.
Meek ain't bad dude. He a great nigga. You know what I'm saying? Good nigga, dope, talented. He just makes a lot of, I think Meek cares what the people think so bad. He wants a lot of, you know, I think he wants a lot of validation maybe. But you know, I'm not judging him. You know, dude, that's, he not my partner for me to be, if he would have called him and been like, bro, come on now. Cause that line that he used actually would have been not bad in like battle rap or something. You know, but I think platform and you can't say that.
Yeah.
It was actually a dope line, but it's just very disrespectful, very sensitive to Kobe's family. And I just think it was bad timing.
Yeah, it definitely was bad timing. I want to get into Save Me From My Karma. Do you believe in karma?
For sure.
What's something that you've done in life that you want to speak on that you believe that it came back to haunt you?
I mean, anything. Well, probably, okay, prime example. When I first started doing music, I got a studio. I was one of the first niggas in Kyle County like to get a studio that everybody recorded at in the whole, you know what I'm saying, in the city. That's the first thing I did before I became an artist. I started my business and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what niggas don't know is, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I had like $30,000 worth of equipment, but I got it the street way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the way I got it was not legit. But I didn't, the nigga couldn't tell me nothing back then about some dirty money. I was like, nigga, you know, I'm going to get it how I get it.
Yeah.
And I was on the top of my shit, bro. And I left one day late night, came back in the morning, all my shit was gone. And it broke my heart because it was all I had, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't trust nobody. Like, I didn't trust my own niggas. I was on some Tupac shit. Like I was like a nigga don't even notice because I know the way they took my shit, it was too heavy to get it out quick. But they had to watch when I left and watch when I came back. So I got all my shit again. It took me about another year. I got all my shit back in the same equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so paranoid though that I was sleeping. I would fake leave and because there was a way you could come around the back by like bushes and come down the hill and come back into the studio the back way. But I did that shit for like 3 months. I sat in there with my pistol just waiting for a nigga to come in there because I was so angry. You know what I'm saying? I was so like, I wasn't even doing music at the time. I lost my hard drive. I didn't have shit.
Yeah.
So I was just sitting in there waiting for a nigga to come in that motherfucker for real. Like I was just waiting for a nigga to come in there. Like, and they never did. God, I'm glad though. Like I'm so, cause I know. And like, I ain't never shot a nigga or killed a nigga, but I know I would have blew a nigga head off cause I was so mad that a nigga would try me like that. Cause I never been robbed. But I was, you know, back then I was stealing like a motherfucker. I wasn't stealing from people though. I was hitting like, you know, like, what you call it? I was hitting stores. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was hitting stores like all day, but I would never rob nobody. So when that shit happened to me, bro, I would think that was my biggest karma, like losing that stuff.
And you hear really it on the song. You can hear it in the song too.
Yeah, man, that shit hurt the fuck out me, bro. Like I was like, damn, who did this shit? Who the fuck watched me? Like, damn, thank God they weren't on no real gangster shit. And like, you know what I'm saying? Came in there, like, damn, like, I couldn't believe that shit, bro. But that was like a long time ago. That was like 2000, maybe 2008 or 2009 that happened. How you doing?
Do you think that situation made you move in smaller circles? Because that's something that you can't trust nobody like Tupac.
Everybody I didn't trust was gone. Everybody I didn't trust. I mean, niggas felt it though. I was doing songs about it and everything. Like niggas knew what it was. Like if it wasn't my niggas from school, it was done. Cause at that time, I used to have my shit wide open. Everybody knew me. So I was like, man, my door used to be open. Like niggas used to just pop up at the studio and just come in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I knew, like niggas knew, but like my niggas, my mate fam niggas in Atlanta, I mean in Cobb, like nobody would play with us over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Plus Cobb kind of like, it don't got that many hoods. 90% of Cobb is sweet. It's the little 10% that's like, you know, hating ass ignorant niggas in the hood and shit. So, you know, I didn't have no beef with nobody. I just, you know, I guess at that time, niggas weren't really getting money at that time on this side of town, not with music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas weren't really getting money like that. You know. And it was a good time. Like Waka was lit.
Yeah.
He was lit at that time. And all the Brick Squad shit, they was recording at my shit when they came. So at that time, you know, Roscoe Dash was recording at my shit. It was a lot of niggas at my studio. Eldorado Red, you know what I'm saying? Wow. All them Parlay from Franchise Boys, like they was all at my studio. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, so that was just a time where everybody's looking at me like, how's he getting everybody? Because niggas was not coming to Cobb County. You get arrested out here.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to come to Cobb. So it was like, it just looked bigger than what it was, I guess, to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A question for you, because you are in Atlanta, and the tweet that you put out today, I'm going to tell you like this: do not move to Atlanta because you came here and noticed everything was open and lit and you just party with your friends every day. Actually come notice how many people came here and came up, got a bag and focused, but they dreamed of reality. You see, it's easy business here.
Mm-hmm.
That tweet, that means a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
You see that you were able to be from the Bronx, but able to make something of yourself in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
That's important, and that's inspiring the artists, because what I really want to get into is just the politics of hip-hop in New York with these radio stations. I feel as though these New York radio stations, they don't back their own artists. Atlanta, when you go to Atlanta, they back their own artists. They back you, and they support you.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Why do you think New York is that way? So political with hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah, facts. I mean, it's the system and the people, you know what I'm saying? The system and the people that's in the building, they make it like that. And unless somebody really get in there and change it around, you know, as long as you got the funk flexes and the niggas that's, I don't know what flex is doing up there, but it take the people inside to make, and Ebro and them niggas, I don't know if they doing what it take to get New York back to what it is.
Well, I'm working that in there, because if I was in the building, you'd be in there. I would put Griselda right in that seat. I don't know what they're doing, or Dave East. I'd put those real guys in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts.
That's only right. New York's got to back their own artists.
It need a mix, but it just, people got to get in there and make more, open more networking and have more niggas that could get in the middle of beefs and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll get better like that.
Yeah. Moving to Atlanta, how were you able to make those quick networks and connections for yourself?
Being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, you got to be outside, bro. Like, it's just like when you were a kid and shit, like, when you come outside, like niggas go outside and play manhunt. Like, we know who be outside for real.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's the same thing with networking, bro. You got to be outside. You know what I'm saying? Really be outside and work.
What does it mean to you to be Grammy nominated?
Oh, it's a blessing. I mean, it's dope. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely an accomplishment I never had. So it's dope, though, for sure.
Next is the Grammy. You're going to secure that soon.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely going to get one before it's all said and done. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. What makes you think, or why does this new album, it's not you, it's me, it stands out from all your other work in your discography?
Yeah. I just think the growth, like, and then one, I did that. The same producer made every beat. That's like the first time I ever did it.
I know you actually grew up being a producer with working with Pro Tools and making beats on the MPC. So you're someone that knows music and knows what sound should sound right for yourself.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, I put a lot of years in making my own stuff. So then once I got comfortable with that, I just started knowing what to tell certain beat makers, because I'm still a producer, even if I don't make the beat.
Who's some artists that you would love to produce for?
Yeah, I mean, everybody. Like, I want to help, like, certain artists, like, you know, all the Kanye's and Drake's and shit. I mean, already working with Travis Scott, like, that was a huge accomplishment for me. Yep. But I want to be more hands-on, like, not just writing and producing for them, but just, like, as they close the album, I want to be a part of that for real. Because that's really my gift, like, the album closing and what's where you put what and how you paint the picture to life and shit like that.
You notice that in the order of the songs of your album. It's and not an album that you can skip and it goes like a story.
Yeah. I think an album should tell a story, because once somebody do the first little skip through, then they once they go back to it, I really appreciate the story of it for real.
And you hear that on the new album. You hear it there. Yeah. What's the significance of the title and the story behind the album art? Because I feel as though it has a message.
Yeah, just the whole, like, I've been real big on realizing that maybe I'm not good for this female. I'm just, you know, it's not really you, it's me. Like, I need to go figure out myself and then we'll link up later type shit. All right, y'all hit me later. Something more like that. And just kind of like, you know, I think people can relate to it that way.
People can relate to that. Sayari, is there anything else that you love to tell the listeners here today? You got the new album out. I'm sure you're probably working on some new visuals.
Yeah. I'm about to shoot the for Sade record on March 4th. Me and Trouble going to drop the video to the joint we did. That's going to be on TV and everything. But I got 3 more projects dropping this year. My biggest goal this year was I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that I drop more music than anybody else. Full bodies of work.
Quality is what counts too. You're dropping quality.
Yeah, I'm very particular about the quality. So I'm working on my funny thing. I already dropped the one I wanted to drop. Then I got 2 already done. Mixed, master, artwork done, already on the side.
Fire.
And I'm working on my last one now. So it's February. I got another, 10 more months to finish one project, which I know is going to be my toughest one because it's more my hip hop side, my East Coast side. Mm. And those particularly take me about 90 to 120 days to do it correctly.
That's fun.
So, you know, once I get that done, because my last hip hop project, you know, it did well. And it was like, you know, I had a lot of people that I, you know, like I had T.I. on there,
yep.
You know, Big Crit, Saha the Prince, you know, Quentin Miller, like niggas that's respected with the pen, right?
Yep.
So I want to keep that type of, I even had Static Select, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, producer joint, you know what I'm saying? So I want to keep that type of energy and, you know, I'm going to keep it moving like that going forward. Just look forward to the music. Any artists or photo designers or video people who do videos and stuff. I got the laptops now, so I've been bundling stuff for artists and stuff who wants setups at their house to do Pro Tools with my preset plugins and all the Wave Bundle plugins all in one laptop to be mobile with it. So also let people know if anybody looking for anything like that for their house, I got them all put together. Don't got to worry about installation or renewing the contract with Pro Tools or none of that. I do all that stuff.
Yep. Reach out. All these artists that are listening right now, especially at St. John's University, reach out. We have a few. Reach out. You're reachable. You're humble and down to earth. One of the talented artists in the industry right now.
Yes,
and I'm looking forward to the new music. I'm looking forward to it, especially the hip-hop side. You want to bring it to the East Coast. We heard what you can do with the R&B sound, and it's only a matter of time when that new drop comes out. And I want to thank you for coming on the show here today.
Yes, sir. Got you, brother.
No doubt. I'd love to have you back on when you drop the new project. Shout out to your manager, Diana.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You already know the queen.
Yeah. Yeah, sir. All right, Sayuri. Take care. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your day, man.
All day. All right, brother.
Yep. Peace.
All right, G.